Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, "The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." In every garden and in every yard, a weed is growing. By definition, a weed is an unwanted plant growing where it's not wanted. Were the weed to grow in any other place, we might actually want it, because many weeds have beautiful flowers. Now, I don't like weeding. However, it's a necessary evil, because out of control weeds eventually damage or kill the plants we want around. Therefore, we need to be especially careful when removing them, or we might kill the plants we like. When my girls were growing up, one of their chores was to help weed the yard and the shrubs, and they did so usually under duress, which makes this tiny tale delightful. One sunny morning, I dragged my teenage son out to help me pull weeds. He often snickers when he catches me talking to my plants, but I told him, "Be careful. The weeds are so thick here, you could easily uproot a flower. If you do, stick it back in the ground and tell it you're sorry." My son sighed. "Mom," he said, "I just weed the plants. I don't counsel them." In life, it's difficult to separate harmful influences without harming the things we wish to thrive, about which author and poet Oliver Goldsmith wrote, "There are some faults so nearly allied to excellence that we can scarce weed out the fault without eradicating the virtue." There are some faults so nearly allied to excellence that we can scarce weed out the fault without eradicating the virtue. In trying to separate the virtuous from the unrighteous, there's some questions we should ask ourselves. Who are the righteous? Who are they? Is it you? Is it me? Is it the aromatic homeless person on a corner begging for food? Or the perfumed wealthy person on a yacht sipping a martini and eating caviar? Is it the person in the church every single Sunday? Or the person with a deep faith who does not come to church? It's difficult for us to know who is righteous and who is unrighteous, because according to Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, we are told, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes. No matter who we are, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." So if we are the righteous, made right with God because of our belief in Jesus Christ, who are the unrighteous? If we, the righteous, have faults that prevent us from being 100% virtuous. In today's parable, Jesus not only describes the situation the disciples and himself would soon be in, but Jesus is looking forward through time to warn us that within the visible, touchable, and seeable church, evil is intertwined with those who are right with God. And Jesus encourages the people who love God to never give up hope or become impatient when the church is not as virtuous as we would like it to be. The parable of the wheat and the weeds is only found in the gospel according to Matthew, and it is commonly referred to as the parable of the tares, which means that when modern translations use the word weeds instead of tares, today's readers have a hard time grasping how much danger the farmer's wheat crop is in, because we're not told which weeds the enemy farmer has maliciously sowed. The agricultural warfare technique of the time of sowing weeds into somebody's crop, especially a white wheat crop, is called tares or false wheat. And it was very, very common. And the reason that the farmers wanted to do this was if they destroyed their competitor's crop, then they could charge more for their crop. But it is a huge problem for the farmer who has been attacked. Because when tares are mixed with wheat and eaten, animals and people become dizzy, have diarrhea, or other bad, severe reactions because it is poisonous. Therefore, when the servants told their master that his crop had been vandalized, the farmer had two choices to make: to try to remove the weeds before the harvest, knowing that with each tare removed, some wheat would also be removed and the worth of his crops greatly diminished. Or he would have to wait until harvest time to separate the poison from the healthy. Being very wise, the farmer decided to wait in order to reap a full, prosperous harvest, because he knew that mature tares, false wheat, stands up straight, while mature wheat bends under the weight of its ears, making it easy to recognize and separate the poison from the food. From Jesus' parable, we learn he knew there would be scandals, quarrels, sexual indiscretions, false teachings, a fading love of God, low morality, imperfections, greed, ambitions, schisms, and many other failures from within the visible church. Jesus also knew the blossoming good in the church: loving God, loving one's neighbor as oneself, serving the less fortunate, visiting the sick, and visiting those in prison, could be harmed should the false worshipers be prematurely removed from the presence of the righteous. Therefore, Jesus knew it best to leave them alone until it was time for the Son of Man to send his angels to pluck them out and sort the sinful from the righteous ones, so that the righteous can bow and shine in God's glory as pure fields of wheat shine and wave in the golden rays of the sun. As we worship, study, and pray, let's listen to Jesus' teaching and realize that true righteousness isn't some virtuous perfection we can achieve, but is simply believing and having faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, through whom we see the righteousness of the only one who is truly righteous, and that is God. Your belief in Jesus Christ allows the church, the bride of Christ, to grow and prosper year after year for the glory of God, even when temporary conditions within the universal, national, or local church keep us from fully knowing Christ, joyfully doing God's will, and basking in the light of Christ's love. God is the master gardener. Therefore, it is helpful for us to ignore those who are not following the way of Jesus Christ, ignoring them and concentrating on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because by concentrating on our relationship with Jesus Christ, the good that we can do through God, and God can do good through us as our lives mature in Christ Jesus, will help hardened, hurt, or even diseased hearts become hearts who bow down and love God and neighbor. And they can do so with us before the angels come to reach Jesus Christ's harvest. Let us always be thankful that our God is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, full of kindness and truth, and that he doesn't pull weeds until harvest time. Because if he were to have pulled weeds before harvest, quite possibly none of us would be in worship today or would shine in heaven when it is time for our mortal bodies to die. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We'll now have a moment of silence for reflection.